Yesterday, we began a look at divorce. It is a challenge, especially in our current culture, uniquely and specifically the church, no less. It's at an all-time high. So what's going on? And even more importantly, what does Jesus have to say about it? Well, we can go to the library or we can go to counselors ad nauseum, and everybody's got their own ideas and their understandings about divorce. But at the end of the day, only one thought really matters, and that is what Jesus thinks, what God thinks, and what God has directed, no less. And he's had a lot to say about it. We're looking at the uncomfortable question of divorce out of Mark 10, verses 1 through 12. Won't you join us? With today's broadcast of Abounding Grace, here's our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon.
They come at him asking about the lawfulness of divorce. Can we divorce our wives? And where does Jesus go? Well, he starts with the first place he knows they went to justify their behavior. And that was Leviticus. So he goes there and he says, "What did Moses command you?" Notice this. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and dismiss her." Now notice they don't go to the reason why Moses did that. Jesus says, "Moses did that because of the hardness of your hearts," which is a sweeping indictment, by the way, because he didn't say the hardness of Israel's hearts back then. He included them. He did that because of the hardness of your hearts. He applied the same problem back then to them. What had happened? Well, the Old Testament prophets cried out against this because the men of Israel, this is all over the Old Testament, the men of Israel were dumping their Hebrew wives and marrying foreign women. This was so bad by the men, they were treating their wives terribly. They were harsh, and think of the curse that I read this morning. Your desire will be over your husband. He shall rule over you. It's the reciprocal sort of response of abuse. They were harsh. And so hard were they that Moses had to do something to put this all in check. The reality was marriage would have been done away with in Israel because as the men were moving on to other women without any documentation, these women were left stranded. They had no defense. They had no defense. They were no longer that they had no defense that she was no longer married as they've moved on. They had no proof. They were just left in the dust. So one of the reasons that Moses had to do this was because the people's hearts were so hard, the men's hearts were so hard from being abused like this, that God had to put through Moses something in place, which shows it's really remarkable to think about. Protect women. It's sad, isn't it? The allowance was made to protect women from ruthless men. You know, this was all over the Old Testament. Moreover, in those days, Nehemiah, I saw the men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod. Didn't they have their own wives? I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod or the language of one or of the other peoples and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them, called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. One pastor said, "What a new pastoral approach, huh? I'm very tame. I don't pull out anyone's hair." So what if Moses had said, you know, so Moses here goes on and says, listen, his intention in this was to stop this and say, if you divorce, you better think about it. Because I'm going to level a consequence on this. You never get her back. That was the consequence of Leviticus 24. You never get your wife back if you do this. How many stories have you heard of men who have wrecked their marriages and then running around later after doing all their fill of fun and everything that they want to do, after they've severely wrecked their life, they come back and say, "I would have never done that." Advice they give? Don't do it. Well, this provision was the restraint to get people to take marriage seriously. That was the intention. But notice that the Pharisees are boundary pushers. That's what these guys do. They're boundary pushing, and they're always pushing the limits. And notice what they do. They want to nail Jesus over strictness. They want to nail Jesus over being too narrow. And so they use the Bible to find a loophole to make a concession to sin and trample the light that is among them. Happens all the time. Multitudes are there, most of them who have been divorced. They're all standing there. They're waiting now for Jesus' answer. What a moment, isn't it? Nothing's different. Certificate of divorce? Common. Divorce papers? Common in Israel. How do you handle this? I mean, that's the million-dollar question in our day. How do you handle it today when the marriage institution is thrown under the bus? We're soon to live in a time where everyone agrees divorce is permissible, but now we've entered a time where men can marry men and women can marry men, women can marry women. How do you answer that? How do you live in that? When you know they're going to persecute you and you know they're going to marginalize you, meet Jesus. After exposing how they got to their position, after exposing their loophole, he goes back to creation. You'll notice that he says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Quoting Genesis, one of those first chapters in 1 and 2, he then cites, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. I hope you see how immensely important this is today. Run through the thought with me for a minute. God created a man and a woman at creation. He had in view when he made them that there would be a beautiful, intimate union between them, demonstrating love, demonstrating true love. He even took Eve from the rib of Adam with the intention of making them to be one, to be married, that he would join them, one man and one woman. He created to be made one in a union made and created by him. And this was always to be so. And as they had children through this union, those children would then leave, and as one man and one woman, they would be joined together in marriage and be one flesh together. It's so beautiful. It was good. It was right. It was God intending it to be the ultimate source, I read at a wedding all the time, of happiness to us. At creation, Jesus is saying, what you're not realizing, dear Pharisees, is that the divine architect, not only of man and woman, but the divine architect performed the first wedding ceremony. Setting it and making clear what this is. It's divine. It's a divine institution. So that here's the punch to it all before them. God himself made the union. The conclusion is, therefore, what God has joined together, making himself making and uniting them, man has no prerogative ever to break. He was never given that. He didn't make it. He didn't create this. He doesn't define his reality. If I were going to find a place in Scripture to go, doesn't this work? Who is this that obscures my plans? With words without knowledge. Using all your words without any knowledge. Brace yourself like a man. And I'll question you. And you shall answer me. This is Job, by the way. Where were you when I laid the foundation? Earth's foundation. Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or on what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no further? Here is where your proud waves halt. Surely you know, for you were already born. You've lived so many years. See what he's doing? He's mocking. God mocks and God laughs at false ideas. Translate, were you there when I made marriage? Did you set the limits of that man may go outside of? Did you determine that? Did I not set the limit on that at creation? Did I not bound that together? Did I not bring together man and woman to be one, created to be one? Did I not form that union? Where were you? Where were you? Talk about an area fitting the whole theme of Mark where this is not about us. Talk about an area in life where this is not about you. Anytime anyone runs into this, it's always about, well, I don't like this, and I don't love it. I. In other words, it was never yours to destroy. It was never from the beginning yours to dissolve. It was never you who designed this. You're not God. There's another reason he went to creation, though. The very thing that they're doing to him, trying to back him into a corner as strict and oppressive and hard-lined, wanting to make your lives hard, wanting you to believe the lie that God is just out to make you trapped. That's the lie that Satan brought into the garden. Satan came in and said, Eve, he's holding you way back, man, woman. God is restrictive. God is strict. God doesn't want your happiness. You're not happy in your situation. You got to get out of it. Did God really say, if you disregard his will, your eyes are going to be wide open. You're going to be free. You're going to be able to go do whatever you want. You're going to see good and evil. You're going to really live. The lie was, God's ways are hard. He's keeping you from freedom. He's keeping you from happiness. He's putting limits on you. You don't have to live by that. And what happened? The great divorce. The great divorce. See, a sermon like this would be easy for me to hit all the non-divorced people, make them feel really good. Right? The true divorce happened in the Bible when the alienation from God happened in the garden, when Adam and Eve went running and hid from him because they had broken his will and that covenant. And now our culture has tried to normalize the uniting of man and woman and men and men and women, continuing the defiance that originated right from Genesis 3 when they disregarded the very law of God himself. That's what we're in. And I don't need to make a case for all the sadness and sorrow that has happened. God established from creation something beautiful. We decided not to accept it. The question is then, is it lawful for man to separate from the law of God? That's the question. And to become his own lawmaker? That's the question. Is it lawful for us to listen to Satan and find a way out from our union with him? And all this sadness has brought us the misery that we know today, the sad consequences that just keep playing out of a society crumbling. And the reason the society is crumbling is because the family has crumbled, because marriages have crumbled. And look at the children. Happiness is not, this is such an important message too for our day. Happiness is not achieved apart from God's will and design. It'll never be achieved. That's what we're going to have to help people to see. They're going to be broken. They're going to be miserable. Playing God, wrecking your gender and trying to make yourself something he didn't. All this stuff, tampering with the marriage institution, rips apart God's will and design, rips apart society, and brings about upon our own heads the greatest amount of sorrow and emptiness you can ever imagine. And we just keep going with it. And as we continue to pick up the broken pieces of our children, all the sadness of the destruction of the family and all the statistics seem to get worse and worse. And in this way, if you're not reconciled to God, you may be seeing the same problems in your family because you haven't led your own children to Him. In all our misery, we say, Lord, Your ways have wearied us. That was Malachi. And the Lord says, no. I'm not letting you do that. Your ways have wearied Me, in that You say whoever does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. It's not about being strict. Don't listen to the devil. It's about what God has put in place for your own well-being and ability to function together. So what God has joined together, let not man separate. The disciples are so moved by this, they come up to Jesus. This is a big issue for them because the culture has so normalized it. They want to talk about this and they say, listen, do you really mean that? Are you really that serious about marriage? You'll notice that there. Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. You'll know Matthew gives an exception clause to that, but Mark doesn't. Why? Because he wanted the punch of it to be felt. Marriage is a lifelong commitment between a man and a woman, and a divorce is a breaking up of the union God made. When one goes out and marries another, it's adultery, he says. And when that's so practiced in a society, you see why he says it. Immediately we want to say, when we hear this, you're thinking about so-and-so. Don't do that. Immediately when we hear this, well, is that forgivable? Let it be felt. Without all the questions that surround it. That's what we need. Yes, the Lord is merciful. Yes, the Lord gives fresh starts. We know that. I don't need to go into all that. That wrecks the intention of what He's doing here when we do that to these passages. It's not a comprehensive treatment on all the what ifs. It has one major punch that should all be felt by all of us. God intended your marriages to be for life. Period. And I would suggest that the lack of the church's clear teaching on this basic point has opened the door of tolerance to everything else we're facing in society today. We can be blamed for a lot of this. We have not taught the people this. And we've compromised. The disciples understood it that way. You know what they said in Matthew? Well, if that's the case, it's better not to marry. Well, that's not right. But they understood what he was saying. It underscores what Jesus said. God made this to be for life. If we're going to do this, we better take it really seriously. That's what they understood with his teaching. That's what they got from his teaching. All of his creatures are bound to him. But how much more today, and I close with this, how much more should Christians understand this? Marriage is not a Christian institution. Marriage is a common institution. But marriage that takes place between Christians takes on a redeemed character, doesn't it? So how much more should Christians understand the big picture of all this? Christians should understand a little bit more about what their marriages are really talking about and expressing. Who is standing in front of them? The bridegroom. And in perfect sacrificial love, he has come to lay down his life for his bride to get her back. To redeem her, to make her beautiful, to enjoy her. He loved his bride with a relentless love. You see this. The world doesn't see this, but you see this with redeemed eyes. The greater story in the mystery of God's will that this is expressing to us, our unions. It is designed to show off and display among the covenant people of God the love of Christ and His body, the church, His bride. And so all the more Christians understand the witness of our marriages, the importance of our marriages. Our marriages are telling a greater story of the love of Christ for His church, a love that is unbreakable, a love that cannot be shattered, a love that knows no divorce or separation, a love of which it is declared greater love has no one than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's how much I loved my wife. That's how much I give myself for my wife. And that's why he's serious about it. Imagine if he weren't. All of our lack of seriousness about it doesn't reflect the Savior's seriousness about it, because it's a serious demonstration of His love for you. What a tragedy divorce is when it's led to our mess. And then we see a Savior who's so long-suffering to come and restore and heal these broken relationships that would in turn now affect how we love one another. You see how ugly it is when we don't believe Him? Look at the Pharisees. Unbelief is disgusting. Look what it does. We all become Pharisees, trying to do whatever we can to find a way out, to rule our lives by our own wills and create our own ways of happiness. And look at your lives when you do that. Look at your children when you do that. You bring sorrow, sadness. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end path is death. And Jesus today just declared to you His love. He wants you all to know that He loves you. And He's not breaking up the relationship. He just won't do it. Aren't you glad? He's not divorcing you. And He offers you something so more. Come to Him. Treasure Him. Believe in Him. His love. His gospel. His peace. His wonderful sacrificial love will truly satisfy your soul and your life. And then you'll go out and love your spouse the way you should. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's a big subject, and I'm sure, Father, in weakness, I have not done justice to this at all. Forgive what failings were made here today and what areas were not addressed that should have been addressed. And yet we come to You as messes. We know that. From the pastor to everyone here, we have no strength in and of ourselves to fulfill this design. We don't claim to. In fact, we all say today we've been very selfish in our marriages, and it's been all about us. I'll say that. Forgive us for this. And yet You come in the Scriptures after redeeming us and restoring us and setting us on the rock and lifting us back up and say, in the state that we are, now let us go forward and bring glory to Your name wherever we are right now today. And that encourages us greatly. For You don't hold our sins against us of the past, but You move us forward to the future. Thank You for Your love that is shown to us and demonstrated in the sacrifice of Your Son. May the Holy Spirit work powerfully in our marriages to take seriously this calling, remove hypocrisy, make us sincere, and may we always love Your will, even when it's hard to speak and hard to say, as You have given it to us in the Scriptures, being willing to say it in love, that we, Lord, would, if it be in Your kind providence again, might be a restoration of marriage in our society, that people who are so empty and trying all these alternate paths would come to their senses, and like the prodigal far away, would say, "What am I doing?" and return to the Father who runs to embrace and restore. Thank You, Father, for Your love. Thank You for the feast that awaits us, the marriage feast of the Lamb and His bride. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon and our time together studying God's Word. It is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially and, most importantly, prayerfully. And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888-504-8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.